Hello and welcome to another edition of Flat Baroque. I'm Dinah Jansen. Today we'll be listening to Les Contes d'Hoffmann, or The Tales of Hoffmann, an opera fantastique composed by Jacques Offenbach to a French libretto by Jules Barbier, based on a couple of short stories by German Romantic era author E.T.A. Hoffmann, the protagonist in our opera today. Premiering at the Opera Comique in Paris in 1881, this opera has a massive cast of characters, including the title character Hoffmann, a poet, Olympia, an animatronical doll, Antonia, a young girl, Giulietta, a courtesan, Stella, a singer, Lindorf, Coppelius, Miracle, Dapper Dudo, André, Niklaus, Cochenil, Franz, Pitinaccio, Antonia's father Crespel, Luther, several students, a muse, an inventor, and still more. The version of Hoffmann we will listen to today was performed at the Orchestre National de France at Théâtre des Champs-Élysées. It was conducted by Seiji Azawa and stars Placido Domingo as the title character, alongside Edita Gruborova and the voice talents of Claudia Alder, Andreas Schmidt, Gabriel Bacquier, James Morris, Robert Gamille, and more. Set in 19th century Nuremberg, the opera begins with a prologue at the empty tavern next to a sold-out opera theater. Hoffmann's muse reveals her intentions to lure him into giving up all other love in order to devote himself fully to her. She is poetry incarnate and he is a poet. She disguises herself as Hoffmann's friend, Niklaus. She knows that this evening Hoffmann's fate will be determined by the choices he makes. In the theater next door, a performance of Mozart's Don Giovanni is taking place, with the soprano lead sung by Stella. With Hoffmann in attendance, Stella has written a letter to him asking him to visit her in the dressing room after the performance. She's even included the room key. However, the letter was intercepted by Hoffmann's nemesis, Counselor Lindorf, who successfully bribed Stella's servant and assistant. Lindorf begins to craft a plan to take Hoffmann's place by Stella's side. And moments later, the tavern begins filling with students and theater patrons. Hoffmann and Niklaus arrive, though Hoffmann is clearly troubled. The students urge him to drink and tell stories. He entertains them with the story of someone named Kleinzack. Lindorf interrupts and begins hurling insults at Hoffmann. Niklaus interjects, but then the students begin teasing Hoffmann about his crush on Stella, and he responds by telling three stories of his past great loves. And following the prologue, we begin with Act 1, where Spallanzani, an inventor, has created his greatest invention yet, a mechanical doll named Olympia. And since the inventor has lost a great sum of money, Olympia is his only chance of regaining his wealth. Hoffmann is the first to arrive at Spallanzani's party, and upon seeing this beautiful mechanical doll, he instantly falls in love with her. Hoffmann is under the impression she is a real person. Niklaus tries to warn Hoffmann, but his concern is unheeded. Coppelius, a mad scientist and this act's nemesis, sells Hoffmann a magic pair of spectacles that allows Hoffmann to see the doll as a real human being. Coppelius and Spallanzani argue with one another over the doll's profits, and Coppelius finally agrees to sell his portion of ownership to Spallanzani for a bunch of money. Spallanzani writes a check, and Coppelius leaves to cash it. During the party, Olympia performs the opera's most famous aria, Les Oiseaux, which captivates the audience and Hoffmann. And despite the doll's need for rewinding her mechanisms through the performance, Hoffmann is still oblivious to the truth. And after the guests venture to the dining room, Hoffmann is left alone with Olympia, and he begins to tell her his heart and soul. And thinking his feelings for him are mutual, he leans in to kiss her. This causes Olympia to go haywire, and she spins out of the room. Niklaus warns Hoffmann yet again, but Hoffmann pays no attention to him. Coppelius has returned from the bank, furious that the check bounced. Waiting for everyone to return from the dining room to attend the evening waltz, Coppelius waits in the background. Hoffmann joins Olympia in the waltz. As the two dance and whirl, Hoffmann falls and breaks his glasses. Seizing the opportunity, Coppelius unleashes his fury on the doll and begins tearing her apart. Hoffmann, finally aware of the truth, is mocked for falling in love with a doll. Based on E.T.A. Hoffmann's short story, Der Sandman, this is Act 1, Le Comte d'Hoffmann.
Je sais que je suis pitoyable. Le voleur est là, moi, se cheval, se cheval. Vous me voulez cher votre amour.
On en est pas heureux.
Je vous dis, moi, cavalère, me menace. Je ne l'ai pas rencontré face à face. Puis je m'en sois dans une belle catalogue. Mon vaisseur me vient de lui. Si je joue, il me fait perdre. Oh, il faut croire que vous jouerez mal. Si je bois, je parais de traver. Vous ne savez pas marre. Si j'aime. Après, il ne faut pas en rougir, j'imagine. Notre ami Wilhelm Cavala, brillant pour Léonore, la trouve divine. Hermann est ma chrétienne, et moi, je me ruine pour la fausse.
Cinta puppe inerto che rignassi e ta fossa dovrà sassi la curtisana frodere a me tre se doc o tresor che ti me prise tolle l'otre ma me tre se mistero tua fama d'ora.
Welcome back to Flat Baroque and our presentation of Offenbach's Le Comte d'Hoffmann. We are now entering Act Two, based on E.T.A. Hoffmann's short story, Rat Crespel. We now find that Hoffmann has fallen in love with a beautiful singer, Antonia. Her father, Crespel, has taken her away to another city in order to separate her from Hoffmann. Antonia has a rare heart condition, and every time she sings, it makes her heart weak. When her father leaves, he commands his servant, who is hard of hearing, not to let anyone in the house. And after the father leaves, the servant entertains Antonia. After some time passes, Hoffmann and Niklas arrive and are welcomed into the home. Niklas tries to persuade Hoffmann to give up love and devote his time to art, but he is too smitten with Antonia. And she is happy to see Hoffmann, but tells him her father has forbidden her to sing. And after several requests, she finally gives in to him, and the two sing a duet, which nearly causes her to pass out. And when Crespel returns, Hoffmann and Niklas hide. Dr. Miracle shows up to Crespel's dismay. Dr. Miracle was a doctor to Crespel's wife when she died, and he forces Crespel to let him treat his daughter. Dr. Miracle consults Antonia and tells her that if she ever sings again, she will die. Overhearing the diagnosis, Hoffmann begs Antonia to stop singing once the doctor leaves. Reluctantly, she does. When the doctor tries to tell Crespel that Antonia must take her medicine, Crespel kicks him out of the house. Crespel believes it was Miracle's medicine that killed his wife. Hoffmann leaves with Niklas after assuring Antonia he will come back the next day. And after they leave, Dr. Miracle suddenly reappears, taunting Antonia with fame and fortune. He says she can have the same, if not more, success as her mother, who was also a singer. She tries to stay steadfast in her attempts to remain quiet and turns to a portrait of her mother, asking for strength. Dr. Miracle conjures a spirit into the painting and, claiming that her mother is speaking through him, he tells her that her mother approves of her singing. As Dr. Miracle plays on the violin, Antonia begins singing. Fervently, the two make music at an ever-increasing speed. In a matter of seconds, Antonia lets out a deep cry and collapses to the floor. Hoffmann quickly rushes in, only to find Antonia dead on the floor. This is Act Two of Offenbach's Le Comte d'Hoffmann.
Diable Tom, il est loin par bonheur. Oh, oh, enchanté,
je viens t'entendre peut-être.
Comment donc un élève
indigne de son maître?
On me teste en vérité, plus de vers, plus de musique, et vous serez en physique. Professeur de faculté, vous connaîtrez ma fille, un sourire angélique, la physique est tout. on a bien à votre chaîne.
Quel rapport la physique a-t-elle avec sa fille?
Oula, hé, cochenille! Fais s'allumer partout!
Et le champagne?
Attends, suis-moi! Pardon, mon cher, je reviens dans l'instant.
Amour, courage, confiance, je deviens appui de science. Il faut tourner selon les vents pour mériter ce que j'aime. Je saurai trouver en moi-même l'étoffe d'un savant. Elle est là, si j'ose.
See doucement, prenons garde. Quelqu'un, qu'est-ce donc que ce monsieur regarde? Notre Olympia, fort bien.
Leur Olympia.
Jeune homme et monsieur.
Il n'entend rien.
Encore quelqu'un.
Voilà le seul moyen d'être entendu.
L'est-il?
Coppelius, un ami de Monsieur Spallanzani.
Monsieur,
voyez ces baromètres, hygromètres, thermomètres. On va même être content. Voyez-vous, en serez content.
Monsieur, je n'en ai que faire.
C'est une excellente affaire.
Rien que seul objet, rien que.
Rien que.
Rien que baromètre, hygromètre, chronomètre, thermomètre.
Et ce soit de l'importance.
Un baromètre et rien que.
Ce vieillard est fantastique.
Préféré pour l'optique.
Ce vieillard est fantastique.
Préféré pour l'optique.
Au diable l'optique.
Aimez-vous l'optique.
Non, sans l'optique.
Au diable l'optique.
Des yeux noirs, des yeux bleus, je les vends de par deux. Achetez-moi mes yeux.
Mes yeux, des beaux yeux, des yeux noirs, des yeux bleus.
Moi, ma fille de beaux yeux, il me ratira.
À mes yeux, de beaux yeux, de vrais yeux, de vrais yeux.
Dites-le, vos sonnettes.
Achetez-moi, achetez-moi mes yeux. Messieurs vivants, messieurs de flamme, est-ce que qui perd son âme?
quel charme d'un virole.
Courage, quelle sonne.
Ange du ciel,
sont éloignés enfin, je respire seul, seul tout d'un, que j'ai des choses à te dire. Oh mon Olympia, laisse-moi t'admirer de ton regard charmant. Sans rêve, enfanté par la fièvre, j'ai cru voir un soupir s'échapper de ta lèvre. Tous aveux, la jeune de nos amours, tu m'appartiens, nos cœurs sont unis pour qui n'est même espérance, pas même souvenir. Partagez le bonheur, partagez la souffrance, oui, la souffrance, partagez l'avenir. Laisse, laisse ma flamme verser en toi le jour. Oh, thank you.
urme voce, fore, fore,
ah, don't, ah.